good evening and welcome to our prayer and Bible study meeting this evening. Before we go to prayer, I'd like to invite you to take your Bible and let's turn to the book of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk as some would call or refer to his name. Habakkuk chapter 1, and just a little challenge from the Word of God this evening before we go to prayer. Habakkuk chapter 1, note then verse number 1. As I was reading my Bible over this passage this week, I was struck by a word here in verse 1. Let's read verse 1 and 2. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Let's bow for prayer. O God in heaven, we pray as we spend these few moments in your word this evening, that you would teach us from your word, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask, amen. Here in the book of Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. Note the word burden. I'm reading through the minor prophets in my quiet time at the moment, and I was struck by the fact that in verse 1 it makes reference to the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. The burden. Habakkuk was burdened. He was weighed under. Let me ask you this evening, are you a little bit weighed under? Feeling a little bit under it, so to speak. Is there a remedy? There certainly is. And here we find that this prophet of God is burdened. He is under a cloud. The obvious question is, why is he feeling burdened? Well, note then the third verse, that he sees the wickedness of his own people. And that is no doubt a burden to him. Note there in chapter 1, the third verse, why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? So the prophet sees the wickedness of the people, and this is not very encouraging to him. But also note there that he is burdened because he feels as if God is not hearing his prayers. Note then verse number 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. So the prophet is burdened by the fact that he sees the wickedness of God's people, and he feels as if is not answering his prayer. It seems like injustice prevails everywhere, and it seems like God's people are getting away with it. And Habakkuk is saying, what's going on, God? What are you doing? So he sees the wickedness, and he feels as if God is not answering his prayer. And then if that's not enough to make you feel under it, so to speak, look at verse number 6. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. Not only does Habakkuk ask the question, God, why aren't you hearing my prayers, in verse number 2, then in verse number 3, he's burdened by the fact that he sees the overt sinfulness of God's people. And here in verse number 6, he sees that God will use the Babylonians to punish the sinfulness of Israel. And that's a burden to him. Why would God use such a wicked, godless nation to judge our people? That was a burden to him. He sees that God has ordained the wicked, the heathen, to destroy his own people. And Habakkuk is wondering now, God, why don't you destroy?
Why don't you judge? Why on earth would you choose to use the Babylonians to judge our people? So poor Habakkuk is feeling under it. And also we move on into chapter 2. Another great burden for this man of God is that he is privy to the extent of Israel's wickedness. God lays it all out before him. And in fact, in verse number 2, note in chapter 2, verse 2, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. So not only does Habakkuk see the wickedness of God's people, he's been told that the Babylonians are going to come in and destroy and judge God's people. But now God tells Habakkuk, Habakkuk, you write this down. You make a record of it. So no wonder he's feeling under it. No wonder he's feeling burdened. He not only sees the wickedness of God's people, and he sees from God that God's going to judge his people. He's going to use the Babylonians, this ungodly superpower, to judge his own people. But God even tells Habakkuk, Habakkuk, I want you to make notes. I want you to write the vision down. And then as we read on in chapter 2, Habakkuk sees the extent of Israel's wickedness. Note then verse number 1 of chapter 2, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. So not only is Habakkuk told to write it all down, but Habakkuk takes his position in a tower from where he has a bird's eye view of the sinfulness of God's people. And then chapter 2 continues and spells out very clearly the sin that prevailed amongst God's people and why they needed to be judged. And this was a burden to this prophet of God. In chapter 2, verse number 5, he makes reference to pride. He is a proud man. God told him, Habakkuk, write it down. Write it down. He is a proud man. But also he refers to God's people as a people that are not prepared to take responsibility. Note then verse number 5, neither keepeth at home. So God told him to write it down, Habakkuk. This people are proud. This people are irresponsible. And then note then verse number 6. Habakkuk also sees that God's people are not only proud, irresponsible, they are also dishonest. Dishonest. Note the word woe to him. The word woe in the Bible makes reference to judgment. Whenever you hear that word, that's a word of judgment. Judgment on him. That increaseth that which is not his. Verse 6. Their dishonesty, their irresponsibility, their pride. Look at verse number 9. What else does Habakkuk see from this tower? And God tells him, write it down. Look at verse number 9. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness in his house. Covetousness in verse 9. Dishonesty in verse 6. Irresponsibility, pride, verse 5. And then in verse 12 we see the shedding of innocent blood. The shedding of innocent blood. Woe to him that buildeth a tower with blood. Habakkuk, write it down. Write it down. This is the wickedness. This is the extent of your people. They are not only proud, irresponsible, they are dishonest, they are covetous, they are wicked, cruel people. They have shed innocent blood. What else does he see? Look at verse 15. Poor Habakkuk. Not only did he have to see all of this, God told him, write it down. Write it down. Look at verse number 15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and maketh him drunken. Alcohol promoted and provided amongst God's people that leads to drunkenness and immorality, nakedness. Write it down, Habakkuk. Write it down. And to our government leaders, brethren, that they would see the bottle shop as an essential service, but they don't see that the place of worship as an essential service. And I only read this morning in the news that now they're going to limit how much alcohol you can buy at the bottle shop. Interesting, isn't it? I wonder why. Woe! Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. That's your bottle shop, see? That's your bottle shop. It leads to drunkenness. It leads to shame. And God said to Habakkuk, shameful, worthy of judgment. Then also note in verse number 19, woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, and to the dumb stone, arise, and it shall teach. What's this referring to? Idolatry. Idolatry. No wonder Habakkuk is burdened. No wonder he is feeling low. He not only sees idolatry, the propagation of alcohol and drunkenness. He sees the innocent bloodshed of the innocent. He sees covetousness. He sees dishonesty. He sees irresponsibility, pride. And God tells him, I'm going to judge your people, Habakkuk, and I'm going to use the Babylonians to judge your people. No wonder the book begins with the burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. Well, as we move into chapter 3, this is his place of restitution. He's burdened down, but we'll see in chapter 3 he is not in despair. In chapter 3, verse number 1, beloved, it reads a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet. A prayer. Prayer changes things. And we see that Habakkuk prays. O Lord, verse number 2, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. See, the prophet is burdened. He's weighed down by what he sees. He's weighed down by the fact that God will judge. He's weighed down by the specific sins of his own people. And God, why would you ever use such a wicked, nasty people as the Babylonians to deal with your people, my people? He's burdened. He's weighed down. Burdened, but not in despair. Why? Because in chapter 3, verse number 1 and 2, we see the prophet prays. And he prays. And he cried out to God and said, God, in wrath, remember mercy. The prophet acknowledges the fact that God's people are worthy of judgment. They are worthy of judgment. I have heard thy speech and was afraid, said the prophet. We are worthy of judgment, but in wrath, remember mercy. God, please have pity on us as a people. So he continues to pray. And from verse 3 to verse 16, we don't have time to read through these verses. But we see within these verses a review of how God has worked amongst his people. See, the prophet is burdened, but he's not in despair. Why? Well, let's note then verse number 17 to 19. This is the key. How is it that you and I, from time to time, can be burdened, but not become a victim of despair? And I'm sure for many of us at this very time, we are burdened, are we not? We're feeling a little bit under it. But there's no need to despair. What advice can we learn from Habakkuk? Well, we can begin by prayer. And then note here at the end of chapter 3, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, and the labor of the olive, that is the olive tree, shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat or no harvest. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, sheep and goats, and there shall be no herd in the stall. So even though everything seems to be going against us, even though we're experiencing, or it seems like we're about to experience, a collapse economically, do not despair. Note then verse number 18, Habakkuk said, yet. Because he has been in prayer, and child of God, may I encourage you concerning the benefits of prayer. Prayer enables us to see things clearly. See, in chapter 1 and chapter 2, Habakkuk saw outwardly with his naked eye. He saw the wickedness of God's people. He saw why they deserved to be judged. He could see judgment. He was told of judgment, but he couldn't understand why God would ever use such a wicked people to judge his own people. But then he prays. Prayer always gives clarity. And he begins to focus upon how God has worked in the midst of his people throughout the chapter. And then in verse 17, although the fig tree doesn't flower, although the vine doesn't produce any fresh grapes, although the olives produce very little oil, although the fields produce no harvest, although our flocks have died, and there is no herd in the stalls, yet, look at verse 18, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Burdened, but not in despair. Why? Because Habakkuk, via the medium of prayer, could still rejoice in the Lord. He could take inventory that he has salvation. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Salvation. My salvation. Do you have salvation? Do you know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Because if you know Christ as Savior, beloved, you can have joy. I will joy in the God of my salvation. It's that salvation in Christ that gives us forgiveness. It's because of that salvation in Christ we are joint heirs with our Savior. We are the children of God. We will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall ever be with him. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So how is it that Habakkuk could move from feeling burdened and yet not be in despair? Well, he began to pray. And as he prayed, he was mindful that even though things are not going my way, I can joy in the God of my salvation. I can rejoice in the fact that I have eternal life. But also note then verse 19 that he said, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, the stable feet of a deer. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Not only will I rejoice in the Lord, the God of my salvation, I'm going to trust my God, the God of my salvation, to give me strength. God will enable me to live above my circumstances. God will give me stability. And beloved, this evening, even though you and I might be a little bit burdened by what is taking place around us, within our own nation and around the world, burdened but not in despair. Why? Because Habakkuk spent time in the presence of God. He prayed. He focused upon what God has done for his people. He rejoiced in that salvation, and he rested in God's strength and in God's power. It's interesting that there in chapter 2, verse number 4, note at the end of the verse it reads, but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. In Romans chapter 1, 17 it reads, but the just shall live by faith. But here in Habakkuk, but the just shall live by his faith. What does that mean? Well, it means faith in him, faith in our God. That's where our faith needs to be. See, if our focus is upon what is happening around us, yes, we will feel burdened. We will feel under it. But if we set our affections upon things above and walk by faith and rejoice in our salvation and rest in God's strength to give us stability, then we will trust him. We will rest in him. So even though life at times doesn't go our way, Habakkuk said, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And my God of strength will give me stability. Burdened, but not in despair. All things work together for good to them that love God. And note then verse number 14, I'll close with this, of chapter 2. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God can be glorified in your life and my life. Even though we might feel a little bit burdened, yet Habakkuk said, I'm not in despair because I'm joying in my salvation and I'm going to trust God to give me strength to see me through. Because the just shall live by his faith. And at the end of the day, God's name will be glorified. So, beloved, this evening, let me encourage you, as you see negativity all around you, and maybe you're feeling a little bit burdened, but not in despair. Let's joy in our salvation. Let's rest in God's strength. Let's trust him. The just shall live by his faith, and at the end of the day, God will be glorified. And all of God's people said, amen to that very fact. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the encouragement that you have provided in the life of this prophet that sincerely was burdened, but yet not in despair. So Lord God, I pray that we likewise, as we spend time with you, spend time in prayer, would not be despairing, that we would rejoice in our salvation, that we will rest in your strength and walk by faith and know that all things work together for good and your name will be glorified. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you for joining us this evening. And at this time, I'd like to encourage you to join us for prayer. And I trust that you've received your updated prayer list this afternoon. Please contact us immediately if you didn't get a copy of the Metro newsletter and your prayer list. And I'd like to encourage you, church family, to pray within your family unit and even consider praying with somebody outside your family. Just get on the phone and line something up and have some prayer. And may God bless you. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday through our live stream services, 10:15 a.m. sharp and 6 p.m. sharp. And let's continue to pray one for another, and let's continue to look out for one another. For Maranatha, our Lord cometh. Let's pray. O God, thank you once again for this time together, Lord, around your precious word. And I pray now as we go to prayer, I pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us and lead us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. God bless you.